This episode is brought to you by SD Sober Living. If you or someone you know needs a safe and supportive recovery home, then reach out to SD Sober Living at www.sdsoberliving.org or call 619-625-0769. That's 619-625-0769. Come get some San Diego recovery and some fuck fentanyl at SD Sober Living.
Bum, bum. This is gonna feel real good, all right? Most dope. Everybody, please put a thumb in the air.
Hey. 1, 2, 3.
Alright, welcome to the Fuck Fentanyl Podcast. I'm Luis Romero, I'm the Fuck Fentanyl guy. Right here we got round two of Fuck Fentanyl. But I'm going to cover a little bit more of Lexi's story over here.
That's right, that was quite the intro too.
I go fucking hard for
this shit. I know, truly.
Let's see, Lexi. So where are you from?
I'm from San Diego. I was born and raised in Ramona, shockingly.
Okay. Ooh, Ramona.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Our town.
I love it.
Born and raised there, then moved to North County, like Rancho Bernardo, Escondido area.
Okay.
Went to high school there, which is where I met Spencer and the rest of my good friends. So, lived in San Diego my entire life. I moved to Arizona for a couple years. And then moved back, I think, pretty soon after Spencer had passed away. So just to be with family and stuff, it's tough to be far away when stuff like that's going down. So definitely glad I came home.
Oh, okay. And so when did you started experimenting and partying and stuff like that?
So it's a very interesting story. But in like the end of high school, I made some choices. Mm-hmm. Life is about choices. I
of
made
course.
Some of the wrong ones.
Yeah. Well, especially in high school. You know, right. Make some bad choices.
I chose not to go to college and stay home and do like a community college situation, but take like a year off.
Okay.
And that year I was in kind of like a god-awful relationship with somebody that was like spiraling really quickly.
A little toxic.
He was using a lot, and his friends and some of the friends that I had at the time, it was just spiraling all the time. So we were all experimenting with different stuff, but it was never, I wouldn't have called anything. Like I was never addicted to anything when I was younger, I didn't think. Mm-hmm. But as I got older and going through the recovery that I have recently, mm-hmm. I realized that I wasn't addicted to like a substance necessarily. It was more a feeling. It wasn't like a specific substance. It was more of a feeling that I was chasing all the time and more of like people. Like I had big codependency problems and like was leaning on people a lot. So I was putting all my eggs in one basket thinking something was going to work and it just never was. So then it was just substance after substance and like experimenting with my friends. We partied a lot. We had a good time, but definitely not the safest choices.
Of course.
And then, you know, as we got older, we grew out of it, and thankfully. But a lot of us made it through, and a lot of us didn't. But I'm still standing, so I'm still here to tell the tale.
Amazing.
So. Yeah. Fuck yeah. And when did things start to spiral out of control?
It could have been at any point, really. But I think kind of just to start, where like it started to go downhill for I think my whole group of friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I was 19, so I'd only been out of high school for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very small group of friends that were very, very close. It was maybe 5 or 6 of us.
Yeah.
And one of them was in college in Arizona.
Okay.
And he had passed away. Okay. So the rest of my friend group really took that very
hard.
And it was the first experience we really all had with death, especially like when you're 19 and someone your age loses their life, and you have to sit there and watch families that you've known like for years have to bury their child. Like nothing yes, we miss our friend, but having to watch that happen and watch the families that you love have go through that stuff is never, you don't come back from that.
No.
And
life is not going to be the same.
Never. And yeah, pretty shortly after that, I was, I think less than a year later, one of my other best friends had passed away. He was struggling very hard with the loss of our friend.
Yeah.
And was choosing the wrong ways to cope with it. And like I said, there's no right or wrong way to grieve, but choosing substances and choosing certain outlets, not always super healthy. So, but yeah, I think his passing had such an impact on me. We were, I was the closest to him out of anybody in my life at that point, other than my family. So we had really leaned on each other when we had lost our friend. He was struggling very hard with losing that friend. He grew up with that friend his whole life. That was like his brother.
Yeah, like his brother.
So he was going through the fucking trenches trying to figure that out and navigate that. So after that happened, the day after his service, I remember Heather and I were talking about this earlier in the car. Where I had gone to a service and I like never used alcohol to cope for anything, like
ever. It was just partying.
It was partying, and it was partying. It was social. It wasn't like a numbing thing. But during his service, I remember I was chugging a bottle of wine before I went in there.
Wow.
And I was like 20,
like
chugging a bottle of wine, going in there, sitting in the front row with his family, and I'm like shaking, sweating, like ready to throw up. Like it was the most emotion that I've felt in my life all at one time.
Yeah.
Like it was the heaviest thing I had experienced at that time. So then after that, there was like a reception for his service. I was blackout drunk at this reception, like talking to people, giggling, laughing, like just trying to like overcompensate for the way that everyone was feeling. I was like, I'm just going to make light of this situation. There was no fucking light to be had. There was nothing light about that.
That was not a winning battle.
No. But then the day after that, I went to my parents and said that I thought that I needed help. And that was more of like a, on a mental health standpoint instead of like a substance abuse. So I had checked into Casas Palmeras in Del Mar.
Oh, yeah, I know that place.
Yeah, I checked in there in 2019 and I was there for 11 days. It should be a 30-day stay.
I was like, that's a little short.
I was there for 11 days and I was like, cool, I'm healed. Bye. And then I was like, nice. I'm a bounce. Yeah, I was like,
nice.
Everything's good. I'm out. It wasn't. So I left there. I met a really good friend in there that we stayed close and had a good relationship. But after leaving there, I was like going back and going to raves and taking a bunch of drugs again and like back into toxic relationships. Like nothing about that lifestyle was healthy at all. And then I kind of, I think COVID happened right after that.
Oh, yeah, 2020.
And when everything shut down, that's like all the more reason to sit inside and get fucked up.
Yeah.
So it's like,
oh yeah,
drinking all the time, doing drugs all the time, like partying every day. Yeah. Like everyone's supposed to be distanced and we're like, yeah, fuck that. Like not the brightest. But
a lot of that was going on.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
We were having a good time, but whatever.
Yeah.
So during that, I think it was like October of 2020, my friend that I had met at Casa Palmera overdosed and died from fentanyl.
Oh, Jesus
So
Christ.
That is now three of my close friends.
I just passed away.
And then, yeah, he was just gone like that. And so that's what's so crazy about fentanyl and about just raising suicide awareness, too, is that in a second, everything's gone. And you make a very quick choice and everything's gone.
Yeah.
And everyone, the shockwave it leaves in your whole family and everybody you know, it just it's like horrible. But that went down in October of 2020. November of 2020, I was at a party with Spencer.
Okay.
And we were drinking and among other things. And I was absolutely shit canned, like hammered. But at the time you're like, oh, if I'm drunk and I do a little bit of blow, I'm gonna be fine. I'm going to sober up, right?
Yeah, of course.
So exactly what happened. I'm like, oh, I'm sober enough to drive home. I'm good.
Yes.
Made it 5 minutes away from the party that I was leaving.
Yeah.
And Spencer was actually going to leave with me. And thank fucking God he didn't.
Yeah.
But 5 minutes past that party, I had flipped and rolled my car three times.
Oh, shit.
It had landed on the roof, slid across the street, and it was like a block away from my parents' house. And I lived 30 minutes away. Like, I didn't make it very far at all. So after that, then I'm forced by the state to enroll in a program and like, all of this stuff. And I'm like, damn, I guess I really do need to fucking figure this out. So then I have like the ankle bracelet situation, the scram bracelet, like everything that follows with that. And then after all of that was done, that was when I decided that I was going to move to Arizona and just get like a fresh start.
So geographical.
And like when you've been around the same, like at that point I had lost three of my best friends. And so being around the same environment too, having to drive past our high school, having to go to the same restaurants that we all went to and like the same bars, like it hurts. And it just like keeps ripping that Band-Aid open every single time. Yeah. So it's like, I just
very
being
triggering.
Very triggering. So it was like impossible. So moved to Arizona. I was doing fucking great out there.
Okay.
I loved it. I was still like drinking on occasion and going out with friends that I had met there, but I had a really good support system out there, really good friends. And then November of 2022. I was walking out the door to go to work, and I got a call from my best friend, Alex, and he FaceTimes me. Every time he calls me, he FaceTimes me. And he calls me, and it's like one of those standard phone calls. And I see his name pop up, and I'm like, motherfucker. So I sit down, I answer the phone, and he's just sobbing. So he's hyperventilating, he's sobbing, and he starts explaining what happened to Spencer. And Spencer at that point, the people that we had left, Spencer was like the strongest out of all of us. And we were all able to lean on Spencer for everything. And he was always there for all of us. And we could always call him and he'd make light of it. He'd make us laugh and be like, you're being a fucking idiot. Figure it out. Like,
he'd be that like, is one thing that everybody says.
Yeah. Spencer's, he's like, you're going to be fine. Yeah. He would always like just make every situation so much more calm and like ease everybody's mind when we were spiraling. Always find a way to make it light. So I had just gotten promoted at my job too, and I was walking out the door to go to work, like had my backpack on, like was ready to leave when my phone rang. So I sit down, I'm talking to Alex, and I'm like, okay, well, Alex is like, can you call everybody else? Like, he was a wreck. He's like, I can't call people and tell them what's going on. Can you call people? I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. So I texted my job. I'm like, hey, I'm going to be a few minutes late. I got to deal with something. They're like, all right. I shouldn't have gone to work that day, like, at all whatsoever. Like, Heather knows how the rest of the day went.
I've been there. I know.
Yeah, I still went to work thinking it was, like, I was going to distract myself. Like, just stay busy. It's fine. And I was bartending. I was bartending.
Oh God, that's not a great environment to be in.
Horrible. But like,
why are you going through that?
Right. You know? And so I wasn't drinking because I was working, but all my regulars are coming in and they're sitting at the bar and they can tell that something like I'm fucked up. Yeah. They're like, something's not right. Like, what's going on? So by the time I close the bar, I'm sitting there just sobbing to like some of my friends, losing my fucking mind. And then I got a text from Heather telling me the time that they were going to be letting Spencer go. Because at that time, when Alex called me, I didn't realize that Spencer was on life support.
Yeah, I think we all thought, like, Spencer's a fighter.
I didn't realize that Spencer was on life support. I knew that something terrible was happening, but I didn't know at that point what was going on. So Heather had texted me, and she told me exactly what time they were going to be letting him go. And she asked me on the phone if she could hold the phone up to Spencer's ear and I could say goodbye to him.
Oh, Jesus.
And I, like, lost my shit. And I'm, like, telling Heather, I'm, like, this is your family. You guys need to take the time that you need as a family to deal with this. But I have never appreciated anything more in my life than her giving me the option to say goodbye to my friend.
Absolutely.
So.
Family.
No,
we're family
forever. Ever.
Fuck yeah.
You're never getting rid of me, bitch.
For life.
For real. So, yeah, after that shit just went real self. I was not sleeping like ever. I was doing okay mentally, but wasn't sleeping ever. So I was struggling really hard. And it was like Xanax at night to go to sleep, Adderall in the morning to get through the day. Was still smoking a shit ton of weed too somehow. I don't know how it was like functional, but
it happened.
It worked. I don't know. But I got to a point where I was taking so much Xanax to go to sleep because my tolerance is just going up and up.
Of course.
And with benzos, that's what happens. It just keeps going.
Yeah.
And I got to a point where I stopped taking it. I tried to stop taking it.
Yeah.
And what happens when you abruptly stop benzos?
Withdrawals.
I was living alone in Arizona in my own apartment. I had a seizure alone in my apartment. I was off it for maybe 2 days. Yeah. And the withdrawals were so bad, and I was in deep shit.
Yeah.
And I had never been in a situation like that ever. And luckily, I have a very, very good support system and very helpful family. And my parents are fucking amazing. So I was lucky enough to call my mom and be like, I fucked up. Like, I'm not, this isn't something I was abusing. This is like something I just wanted to sleep. Like, I was going through something so heavy and grieving so hard that I couldn't sleep all the time. So that was what I was using. And then it just kept spiraling and getting so much worse. I was taking like 5 bars just to go to sleep, which is
that's
quite a bit.
That's quite a bit.
And so I called my mom and I said, I need help. And she said, pack a suitcase. You're going to get on the next plane to San Diego. And she checked me into Costa Palmera again.
Oh, okay.
So there... I was there for 30 days that time.
Oh, yeah, you stayed for the full 30.
A full stay that time. First time didn't go so well, so I knew exactly what to do differently. Met a really good group of friends. And you know this. Like, the sober community is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And so everybody that I met there, it's when you're in meetings and you're in a community like that, everybody going through something similar, everybody's story is different.
Yeah.
And everyone's path is going to be different. But that shared experience of wanting to get clean and wanting to change your life and having that be your drive is like the thing that's going to bring everybody together. So I met really good people there, detoxed there for like 10 days, I think.
Okay.
And then after that, was fucking miserable.
Left with your emotions.
Sounds right.
Because then,
right.
Oh my god, the withdrawals from benzos are a fucking bitch.
They can kill you.
Yes.
It's fucking life threatening. Benzos and alcohol.
Yeah. Only things that can kill you.
Two drugs that can kill you.
So, I was fucking miserable trying to sleep again. Like, I wasn't sleeping again because nothing would work. Nothing's gonna work the way that 5 bars of Xanax would.
Yeah.
You know, so my tolerance was just trash. But so I went through like really awful withdrawals for the first like 6 months after getting out of treatment.
Yeah.
But I was on such a high still, knowing that I wasn't in the position that I was anymore, where I was alone in my apartment, seizing by myself with nobody there. So knowing that I was home with my family, I was getting clean, I was able to see my siblings, I was able to see Heather and my chosen family. Like, I was so fucking lucky for that, and I'm so blessed to have parents that were like, absolutely get on a plane, come home. Like, they were so supportive, and they've been so supportive since day one, since I started losing my friends, and since I kind of went down that path. So I was very, very lucky. I'm still in NA. I'm going to be a year sober next month.
Yeah.
I love it. But a year next month, which is fucking awesome. But
that's so awesome.
When you're withdrawing from benzos, it takes like
6 or 7 months
to feel fucking normal again. So I'm glad that I'm in a good, happy, healthy place in my life right now. Like, things were so dark for so long. And I'm at a place now where I've come to terms with the things that have happened to my friends, the choices that they've made, and the people that I have left in cherishing those people. Because I think when I started to lose people, and Spencer and I had talked about this too, you realize how quickly and how easy it is to lose, for like life to be taken away.
Yeah, of course.
And then at that point, it's like, when life is taken so fast, it's like, what the fuck is the point? Like, at the time, I was so depressed. I was so upset because I'm like, what is the point when in an instant, all these people you love are gone?
Yeah.
So that's the kind of mindset that I was in when I was in such a dark place and taking so many things and coping that way is like, I just didn't see a light at the end of this tunnel.
Of course.
Because every single person around me that I loved was just dropping and it was horrible. But being through the treatment that I did and meeting the people and going to the groups that I did and being a part of NA, it's so eye-opening and just shows you that there's so much more to life than losing people like that.
And being miserable and unhappy.
Right. And so I feel like for the first time, I'm fucking 26 years old, but for the first time in my life, like, everything is opened up. I feel like I have a future ahead of me. Like, before, I never felt that way. Like, I was just trying to go from day to day, like, maybe I'll make it tomorrow. Like, maybe I'll wake up in the morning. I don't know. Like, that's how every day felt. And now it's like, I look forward to things. I make plans. I'm making plans to move again. Like, I'm excited about the future for the first time. And it's a really cool feeling.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That's so fucking awesome.
Thank you.
And I relate that, like, a lot because, I too lost my best friend. And, his death was really heavy on me. He's actually very similar to Spencer. He's what's the right word to put it? He's a very charismatic person.
Yeah.
Like, he will always want to make people laugh. And he's like a knucklehead, he's that type of person. Like, he'll always want to make a joke. He always wants to make everyone laugh, make everyone happy and stuff like that. And, it was unfortunate. He struggled with addiction as well. We both started heroin together and he couldn't stay clean. He just, cycled.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to go to different cities, tried to, multiple rehabs.
Same thing. I get a fresh start somewhere else and it just, it follows you. It
follows you.
Yeah.
That's what happened to him, and he passed away in 2021.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but and that pain was unbearable for me because I knew it was going to happen. If someone like him, I just think he just couldn't get over his own pain himself. And it's relatable, because I also have that as well. And, when I heard he died, I was sad, but I was also like, well, at least he wasn't suffering anymore because he was just at that point of his life. But I just, that's why, I really believe in raising awareness and helping others that are still suffering, because, I couldn't do anything for him. But if I could help somebody else,
right, 100%.
For him, that's why I started Felt Fentanyl.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
we had his picture up on a banner. I forgot the banner. Yeah, that's all good. We'll get it next time.
That banner
time.
Was so fucking beautiful. I almost made me cry, dude. I was like, fuck. It's so hard to see his photo sometimes. I actually have a T-shirt of him, It was made by someone who I don't like, but I had a T-shirt of him, and I couldn't.
It's the product, not the person.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Couldn't bring myself to wear it.
I couldn't wear it. Yeah. It fucking hurts me too much. But I still have it. It's in my closet and stuff. And when I do this though, he's always the first person that pops in my head.
Yeah.
It's sad.
One of your whys.
Yeah. It's sad, because it's not only him too, he might be the one that was closest to me because we were like brothers, but I had other friends I used with and passed away too around the same time, just like bam, 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 bam. And then, I had family members that passed away recently.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's just, it's heavy. It's heavy. And this epidemic, man, it's like anything I've ever experienced.
The news needs to talk about it more. It's like on the radio every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, COVID was shoved down our throats, right? But I feel like this is way more.
You couldn't get away from
it. Yeah, I know. I feel like that's how fentanyl should be talked about. It should be shoved down people's throat, like to bring awareness. The statistics are.
If you want, I've said this on somebody's podcast, but I was like, dude, like I know people that have been affected by COVID for sure.
Right. I'm not downplaying that.
I'm not downplaying it, but it's not at the same level.
It's not at the same level. No.
Not at all.
No.
It's like, and it just is like the way it starts too, a lot of times. And like this was something I heard about with Lisa's son too, when she shares his story. He had an injury from football.
Yeah.
was prescribed something for this injury, right?
Yes.
And you become dependent on it.
Yeah.
And the medical system doesn't teach you how to taper off of it.
No, it does not.
No, and they prescribe some crazy ass shit that's gonna take away all the pain. And if it's you suddenly don't have that, that's the withdrawals, that's the depression, that's where everything comes from. There's a level of grief too, because that's a loss that you've been dependent on this for so long and now it's gone. So they're gonna look for it in any way that they can.
Yeah.
And wherever they can get it, 9 times out of 10 it's not gonna be safe.
Yeah.
And so it all starts too with like the medical system that we're in and the way that the way that things are prescribed and just not taken seriously enough.
I know.
Like when I started taking Xanax, got a Xanax prescription so fucking easily.
Oh, really?
Like, which is so...
I've never tried it before.
Oh, it's so fucking easy to get a prescription for it. You're like, oh, I have really bad anxiety. They're like, okay.
Oh, is that it?
Done. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Done. You get a prescription, and then once you...
I took one more, and it made me pass out. I just...
Exactly.
I'm a heroin addict, man.
I just wanted to go to sleep, and it was doing the thing.
Yeah, it did it. It did the trick.
It sure
slept for like 18 hours and everything.
Oh, yeah, I was doing great. But, yeah, at the very end of it, when I realized, like, oh, shit, this I'm actually dependent on this, and if I don't take it, I won't sleep for fucking days.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in deep shit. So I was super lucky to have gotten the help that I did, and I will share my story as often as I can so that people can understand that help is a lot easier to get than you think. And if you have at all, if a thought comes into your head at all that you might need help, run with that.
Yeah.
Don't push that into the back of your head. Run with it. Because if you at any point have any idea that you might be in a shit position, it's probably only going to get worse. So take that, run with it, go to who you trust and find help, because it's everywhere. And the community's amazing to be a part of.
Oh, it is.
It's fucking torturous for the first couple months. Getting sober fucking sucks.
No, it's not fun.
But
it's not a fun experience to get off of.
No, it's so fucking painful. But after you come out of it, it's like a whole new awakening. And you have a whole new life ahead of you than you ever had before. It's like really rewarding, as painful as it is.
I wanted to ask you, so are you... do you have any plans for, awareness or are you gonna be at the next Puck Fentanyl event?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. She's like I said, she's never fucking getting rid of me. So I'm around every chance I get. But yeah, so I'll absolutely be there. And then I've actually been in the works, but not super put together yet. I'm
okay.
Looking to start a podcast in the next couple months. I've been working on it for
you just buy this fucking thing.
Here we are. It's definitely
you just get guests.
Yep. But just that'd raising be awesome. More awareness for mental health and recovery.
I love that.
And especially suicide awareness, because
of course
it's happening so much more now than it ever happened before. And the stigma around like men are so strong, men are never supposed to be vulnerable, men are never supposed to need help.
Yeah.
Every person that I've been around that has died by suicide has been a man that has been strong, and they've been helping everybody else. Everyone else has been dependent on them because they're the strong one. So having an outlet for those people to seek help when they need it and genuinely reach out to people and feel like they can be vulnerable, that's the stigma that needs to be erased.
Yeah.
So I think if and when I can get that off the ground, that's amazing. Where we're headed. So.
Oh, that's fucking awesome. Yeah, just let me know. I could try to help out however I can.
Try to promote it. Be my first guest because you know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah, no, I can do it. Yeah, we'll even do it right here.
Yeah, that's true.
That's fucking awesome.
Thank you.
I fucking appreciate all your support. And you know, I definitely would love to get you on a photo shoot too.
Oh, absolutely. I've been trying and my fucking schedule's been
I've been struggling even just to get one together. But
your next one, I will hopefully be there. Now I have a pretty mellow work schedule finally.
My homeboy drew me a really cool design. I'm gonna try to get that one going. It's called Stay Strapped. It's
love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So hopefully it's pretty soon.
Good. I'm excited for you. That'll be fun.
Okay. Yeah. All righty. Well, thank you so much for coming on here.
Of course. Thank you for having both of us.
Thank you for having us.
I know. I love what you guys do. And I hope, you know what I mean, to do more stuff with you guys.
Yeah, we're very lucky to know you as well. Awesome. And to have you as a resource and a friend. We're blessed, truly.
We are.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you, guys.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.